Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, good evening across the globe. Hello, everyone. This is Sharon Johnson, host of the Comptivate Show. What a wonderful day we are having here in South Florida. I hope where you are is wonderful, too. Just keep a warm heart. Even if it's cold for my people up north, keep a warm heart. Welcome again to the show. Today is February 12, 2013. I want to thank you for joining me. We're going to have a wonderful time today. The Comptivate Show is just the way to go. It is your moment in motivation. And many people are asking these days, what is Comptivate? What is Comptivate? Comptivate is all about communication, optimism, motivation, therapy, inspiration, value, appreciation, being terrific and enthusiastic. Yeah. My goal in Comptivate is to help to increase self-appreciation and to really, really maximize potential. We want to review to release your fears and welcome happiness. And the content is always, always, always ready to identify and appreciate the beauty of life. All righty, we're going to be having a good time today as we inspire and encourage on the Comptivate Show. To all of you out there, I want to say, those who are still trying to log in, the number is 646-652-2034. And those on the line, again, those trying to get in on the computer, log into blogtalkradio.com/comptivate. I'm Sharon Johnson. Who am I? I'm your coach, your speaker, your trainer, one you're looking for. You can find more about me at www.comptivate.com. Wow, I am so excited to be on the show today, and I love to get those smiling faces. So I'm always going to sing my tune. I'm so excited. I'm about to lose my mind, and I think I like it. I love it, I love it, I love it, because I have a special guest with me today. My special guest today is Vicky Travash. Who is Vicky Travash? Many people are asking these days, who are these people that's coming on the Comptivate Show? Well, you're going to find out Vicky Travash is one wonderful person that you're going to be ready to learn from. You're going to be so excited when you're through hearing from her. Vicky Victoria Travash, she's an executive CEO coach. She's an international speaker. She's a radio show co-host and an author who has over 35 years of experience in business. Vicky's also the president and co-founder of the Itasari Foundation, established in 2005 of August, and that work is done in Rwanda. And, wow, she has traveled 10 times in the last 7 years, and I've had the honor of speaking at the United Nations in 2006, and she's going to be on the Comptivate Show with us today. Her talk is all about hope and possibilities and the greatness that is possible in each of us. When we realize who we are today, and when we realize that today is enough to make a significant difference in the world, we're going to have a good time. Because when we're through with the show, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn that a clear understanding of why personal philanthropy must come from a place of personal abundance. You're going to learn that the three steps are giving more and getting more than you've ever experienced before. And finally, you're going to learn that there's clarity on how to understand how the doubting voice within you can become your greatest teacher. Vicky Travash, she's an executive coach, and she's just going to fill our hearts and bring us to this fine moment in motivation. I want to thank her for joining us, and I just want to say at this time, good evening, Vicky Travash. How are you?
Thank you so much, Sharon. I'm about as far as I can be away from the United States. I'm up in the Northwest, the beautiful Northwest in Portland, Oregon, and I am really, really honored to be on your show tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, it is my pleasure, Vicky, to have you on the show. And for all the listeners who are listening out there, you're going to just grab a pen and paper. Because when you talk about teaching and training, This is it. You're in class now, right, Vicki?
That's right. And everybody listen up, because there will be a test at the end. But the good news is nobody's going to grade your paper except you. So it's really important to listen up. And if you can take one thing from our talk today, I can't speak for Sharon, but I'll be thrilled.
I'm already thrilled. I am already thrilled. Can you hear me? I am already thrilled.
I hear that. So I'm really thank you again for having me on the show tonight.
So, Vicki, you're going to talk to us about giving from a life of abundance, a topic that so many people are struggling with today. Because some people are worried that they're giving, and not getting. Some people are just not getting at all. So you're going to bring us into this giving so that you may have a life of abundance. And before I even get into that part, I'd like for you to introduce yourself. Who is Vicki Trabash?
Well, as I like to say, I am an ordinary woman who wants to accomplish the extraordinary. I do not believe that anyone is extraordinary, because the minute we put someone on that pedestal, something happens that isn't perfect, and then we're knocked down. So I'm a woman who was raised in the Midwest. I have a degree in accounting from Indiana University. I have been married for 31 years. When I married my husband, I was 24 and he was 42. The children were 12. 14, 16, and 18, and we had full custody. And so at 24, I became a step-parent to four teenagers. And at 55 years old, what I tell people now is, no matter what I face, if I can raise four teenagers at 24, I can do anything. So, you know, Sharon, I'm probably like a lot of your listeners, just another woman who really believes in the beauty of her dreams, that wants to overcome her doubts, and knows that when I give from a place of abundance, not only am I renewed in that, but I give from a place that is greater than if I'm giving from something that I really don't have.
Wow. The beauty of dreams. You know, when I heard that right away, I'm thinking the beauty of dreams. So many people are out there today trying to live in the beauty of their dreams. So when it comes to giving, you know, some people may say it's just not even important to give to others. As a matter of fact, I need to give to myself first before I could give to anybody. Some people are not giving at all. Some people just don't have nothing to give. So with your expertise, Vicki, why is it so important to give to others?
I really think, Sharon, that people do want to give. I don't meet many people in the world, no matter how poor, that don't want to give to others. As you mentioned, I go to Rwanda all the time. In Rwanda, like in many third world countries, there are some of the poorest people in the world. Now, they may not have what we have in the Western world, but they give you what they can. So it is the most humbling thing to go into a woman's home that's made of mud with a dirt floor. She has barely enough food to feed herself and her children, and she offers you a meal.
Wow.
When someone does that for you, and you see that they literally could be taking food out of their children's mouths to feed you, what I believe you must do is do more than you ever thought you could before. There's a scripture I live by that says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
If we live in a world where we do have some abundance, and maybe not as much as we want, but more than so many other parts of the world, then we can do more. So, yes, I travel to Rwanda. I meet with these women. I watch them give me a meal that could literally feed one of their children, and I come back determined to do what I can to help them reach their own greatness. Giving is not about how much you give. It's more the attitude of your giving. And too many people, many women, but also men, give from a place of scarcity, meaning they give when they don't even have enough for themselves. And I must say, I believe that we must care for ourselves first before we can care for others.
Yeah. Given from a place of scarcity. What is that place? Could you elaborate more on the place of scarcity? Because I think sometimes even myself, you know, what is scarcity? But to some people may be saying, well, I have enough. Some people say it's not enough. Could you just expand on that more, on a place of scarcity, so all the listeners could understand, when it comes to giving and that place of scarcity, how do they relate, if they do?
It's funny, Sharon, when you were asking this question, one word came to mind, what defines scarcity. scarcity is fear. Mm-hmm. Scarcity is not how much you have. It's the attitude with which you give it or believe you cannot give it. No one should give the shirt off their back, as they say, and then end up naked. I just don't think that's the way it's supposed to work. But what if you don't have material things to give, food or money, but you can have an attitude that you give another? There is no scarcity in the people I meet who are so poor. When I go into their homes in Rwanda and they say to me, I will pray for your success, they are not coming from a place of scarcity. Scarcity for me is defined as an attitude of fear that if I give you something, it will take away from me. I would much prefer the smile of a child that is genuine than $100 from someone who gives it to me with regret or resentment. So scarcity isn't a physical place. It's a mental place.
Wow, it is a mental place. Vicki, you know, as I'm listening to you, you just brought me back all the way back to Jamaica.
Because you know what I'm talking about.
And, you know, as you talk about scarcity, and not to take away from what you're saying, but I just have to say this. My grandmother used the same word. She used to tell us, to whom much is given, much is desired. We didn't have much, so what is she talking about? To whom much is given, we had nothing. But she would always say, to whom much is given, much is desired. We didn't have much, but somebody's always stopping by and to get something. And you talk about prayer, because she was a prayer warrior. I mean, no matter what it was, she would just have something to give. If we had three mangoes or coconuts, she would give one to the person passing by. And we would always wonder why Grandma would just give. We don't have anything. Why don't you give? But as we grew up and we got older, and I realized for myself that you really need to be given just of yourself. And you mentioned a second thing, Vicki, about scarcity. It's an attitude. You know, like the Cultivate Show, and I'm so glad you're on the show to really talk about this. And so the Cultivate Show, for me, this is my way of giving back to the world, my way of saying to people, come, enter this moment of motivation, see what it can do for you, and for people like you to come on and to be doing just this, because, Vicki, right now, with so many people on the line, so many people, you're helping people, and we've just started the show. And I just want to say that, you know, just to just get that off my chest. I had to talk about that for a minute because it was just weighing on me. But let me ask you this question, because some people, they feel that, as you say, some people give, some people don't, some people not sure, some people don't know how much. But some people, if they're not succeeding financially on their own, sometimes there's a tendency to not, you know, to even sway and deliberate. So if you're not succeeding financially on your own, should a person give anyways?
Do you mean give financially or back to the attitude of what you give to the world? If you think about that as a metaphor, anybody listening, somebody could be the poorest person in the poorest group of people in the United States who are listening. And what did they give to another today? Did they give a bad attitude? Did they give a feeling of resentment? Did they give a smile? Did they give a kind word? I don't think that giving must be defined by only giving your money, because as we both know, and I'm a very realistic person, not everybody has money to give, but there is no one in the world that cannot give of themselves through their actions, through their words, through their thoughts. What do you bring to the world every day? That's an attitude of giving. That is an attitude of abundance. And wherever we put our intention, there truly lies our attention.
I was talking
this morning to Elizabeth McCormick, a mutual friend of ours, who's a Black Hawk pilot. She was on a radio show with me this morning. And one of the things she says she does before she goes to bed every night is she reads something positive. She does not watch TV. She doesn't watch the news. She doesn't watch TV shows. She reads positive things so that when she wakes up in the morning, her first thoughts are about what is possible. And the last thing she thought about when she went to sleep is what she first begins to think about when she awakes. And for many of us who have very, very understandable fears, maybe we've lost our job, we've lost our home, we have a difficult or abusive relationship. Absolutely, I am not saying, and I know you don't say this either, Sharon, there is no panacea for that. You can't think good thoughts about difficult things. But you can say to yourself, who would I be without this negative thought? Who would I be if I believed the future is brighter than the present and that my past does not define me? And I believe when we begin to understand that, we can change our future by changing our present. And that's the power of living in this place of abundance. Not a Pollyanna view of the world, but of a view. You know, if anyone remembers the movie Pollyanna, it was an actual movie in the 40s, I think, of this little girl named Pollyanna who moved to a very small town. I think her parents died, but she was living with a very grouchy aunt. And Pollyanna was the sunniest, happiest, most optimistic person anyone had met. And her aunt hated her attitude. But Pollyanna would not be denied. She believed and saw the beauty in everything. And this movie is all about what happens when we focus on what's positive. It's a beautiful movie. It's in black and white. You can find it. And I never had seen the movie. I was sick one day and I watched it. And I thought, there's an actual movie called Pollyanna. And it just, this idea of believing in the positive in spite of the circumstances is what great leaders do. It's what great people do. Because our circumstances do not get to define us. They get to help us understand where we are in this moment and what we want for the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we talk about that, this whole concept of giving, because did you know my high school that I attended in Jamaica, our school motto was life more abundant. You know, I'm just reflecting. That
sure.
was our motto, was life more abundant. It just came
really?
Out to me. So, yeah. Live San Andrew High School for girls. So anyone here listening, for those people in Jamaica who are listening, I do have some people in Jamaica listening to. I attended San Andrew High School for girls, yes. And that was our motto, life more abundant. So this topic really gives me pleasure to talk about this because that was one of the themes at our school. How
well, and you know,
come out?
You know what I love about the theme? It didn't say life abundant, which is a different message. It said more abundant with the
yes.
understanding that what we have in this moment is abundance, but there is more available.
Exactly. And that's what they kept telling us in school is that, and it was an all-girls British school, and that's where I get the accent from.
You do have a good British accent, Sharon. I love your accent.
Yeah, and for a long time, never been to England, you know, never been to England, but well, that good to go down, you know. But this is what they always kept telling us. You know, life is funny because as you grow and as you learn and as you keep moving into the direction you want to go to, you keep remembering stuff. And I remember our principal kept telling us, this is what we have here is great, but there's more. Mm-hmm. And for us, this was like, at that time, it was one of the most beautiful things to have. So sometimes we become afraid, though, and I think that's one of the problems. Let's don't talk about fear. False experiences appearing real. And you mentioned that scarcity, that point of scarcity, oftentimes that comes from fear. People are so afraid. What if this does not happen? What if this happens? And sometimes you're afraid to give. What if I give and I don't get, you know? What if I give and the next time I won't have enough left? So those persons who are out there that are full of fear and probably worried that they can't succeed. If they get too much, they won't succeed. Or they're at this point thinking, I just can't succeed. Vicki, what can you say to them? How do they overcome this fear? How can they overcome that?
Well, one thing you said that really struck me is if you give to get, then you're not really giving. You're making a transaction. Giving to get something is not what we're talking about here. And when we give from a place of abundance, we give from a place with no expectation of receiving back, just the understanding that all things come around. The world, you know, I used to work with the elderly, and I worked with very wealthy elderly people as well as very poor people. And, you know, all their money did not guarantee that people would treat them well as they aged. What it guaranteed was that people would want their money, and depending on how they treated people, their attitudes towards them, where their generosity came from, if it came from a place of manipulation or it came from a place of abundance, meaning they would like to do something for others, absolutely affected the way people treated them. And those mm-hmm. people that had money who gave from a place of manipulation to manipulate someone else, the moment they lost their ability to control things, often, not all the time, often they would be taken advantage of. Whereas many of my poorest clients who were on Medicaid, so they had nothing, they had an amazing group of people who had loved them forever. Because this person, man or woman, who had been poor of finances but rich in spirit, who had mm-hmm. shared who they were, whether it was financial or spiritual or relationships or emotional, they were loved. And in the end, isn't that what we seek? We seek yeah. people who love us for who we are, not what we give to them. And
absolutely.
That comes from this, our intention of why we give. And so if people give and don't get, don't be surprised. You don't give to get.
Mm-hmm.
Give because you want to. And that's why you must come from a place of abundance. If I give you $10 and am hoping that because I need $100, so I give away my last $10, and I'm really hoping that somebody gives me $100, I've just made a deal. I've just said I'm willing to do this transaction. But if I give away $10 with no understanding of where my next $100 will come from, but faith and trust that I'll get what I need, maybe the $100, maybe not, there's a great peace and joy that comes with that giving. So if you're afraid of giving, don't give. And don't give because you're afraid. Don't give because you know that you need to understand what giving means to you. And each of us has our own journey, and there's no judgment in this by me. But I would much rather, as someone who runs a foundation for Rwanda, and I do it all for free, and I make money as an executive coach and speaker. But do you know, last week I was speaking at an event, and there was an elderly woman there, and she said, I'm going to give you $25 because that's all I can afford. But I want you to know how much your message meant to me tonight. Do you know what that gift meant to me? Because I said to her, would you like to be on my mailing list and know about what we're doing and maybe hear about maybe get a basket or something, because we import the baskets from Rwanda? And she looked at me so sweet and she said, honey, I am 85 years old and I do not need a thing. I just wanted to give you $25. That was a place of abundance. And then I'll have other people give me $1,000, which they can afford, but then they get mad at me if they don't get their thank you note within a week. And I appreciate the business of this, too, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I think as a foundation, we need to be responsive to donors, remind them and thank them how much we appreciate their gift. But we're also human, and we're trying to do all as much as we can. And you often see who people are under pressure and what the ego plays. But this sweet woman, she wanted nothing from me, didn't even want to give me her name, and it wasn't because she was afraid I was going to solicit her. She gave completely just out of the joy of giving and handed me $25.
Wow, that's an amazing story. And I'm sure I could just see me just looking at her. I'll probably have a little tear running on my eyes, because when you see the real art of giving, that's when you know a person is just giving, giving, giving. I just want to take a little time out for more conversation, because to remind those who are just logging in, this is Sharon Johnson. I'm on the show with Vicky Chabot, executive coach from Portland, Oregon, and we're talking about giving, 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 giving with a life with more abundance. I want to remind you to know more about me. My website is www.cultivate.com, and you can find more about speaking engagements, seminars, retreats, and masterminds. I want to remind you also that Vicky Chabot is going to be giving us some more information at the end. So if you're on the line or you're listening on Facebook, stay put because there are a lot more things coming your way. Vicky, I want to ask you so many questions, and they're popping in my head, and I'm sure so many people want to know, because you talk about hope. You talk about possibilities. You talk about that greatness. There's a saying that Les Brown says, there's greatness in you. There's greatness in you. If you can look up, you can get up. But he also talks about that it's important for us to understand, even when fear gets in the way, we've got to kick it aside and be ready to give. Because giving sometimes can be the best part of a person's life. A person who gives, be surprised to know, like Bob Burke talks about. Bob Burke says that when you change your focus from getting to giving and putting others' interests first and continually adding value to other people's lives, you're going to find that you're just going to have this ultimate, unexpected return. And do you have any examples like that you can share with us, Vicky?
Well, you know, as I was listening to you, I was thinking about how this whole idea of giving does include getting from one standpoint. Most people who want things, when people say, I'd like to start a business, but I don't have enough money. And then you say, well, how much do you need? And they say, I don't know, but I don't have enough. We're pretty quick to feel as if we lack scarcity, because we refuse to put true details around our dreams, which turn into daydreams. And I think that this whole idea, and I think I'm a little off your question, I may have to have you repeat it, but I think that one of the things we should think about is that if you have a big dream for yourself, if you want to change the world, if you want to go to Africa, if you want to help others, and you say, boy, I'd love to do what Vicky is doing, that isn't done by hope. Because hope is not a strategy, right? Hope is an attitude. And as a business leader, as a business coach, I teach people hope is not a strategy. But if you hope to change the world, then I would ask you, then what does that mean in particular, in specifics, and then what are your fears and doubts in the way? Because most people don't listen to the doubting voice within. They just try to ignore it. And I will tell you this, don't ignore the voice. The voice must be listened to, because if you listen to the voice, you can overcome your doubts and fears. If you ignore it, it will stop you from building anything. So knowing what we want really helps us to understand what's it going to take to get through it. And if you want to build a business and you say, I really want to build this business, and then you say, I don't know how to build a business, that's true. That could be absolutely true. So what will I do about that? How do I find people to help me build my business? How do I take a class or do something that will teach me what I need to know? Maybe you love to make cupcakes, but you have no, and you make the best cupcakes anybody ever tasted, and everybody tells you that. And if you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times. You got to sell these cupcakes, and you dream about that. You think, what would it be like to sell my cupcakes? And then you say, I don't know how to run a business. Never mind, I won't ever be able to sell my cupcakes. But what if you listen to that voice? I don't know how to run a business. Could I learn to run a business? I could. And then you begin to build that dream. And I think I am so off your question. I apologize, Sharon. Repeat your question to me, and I'll try to answer it this time.
That's okay. You gave me a beautiful answer.
Sorry about that. Our listeners are screaming into the radio. I know what she asked you. You didn't answer it at all. So I apologize to the listeners.
But that's okay. That's what we, you know, when we get into conversation like this is good. This is good, because I wanted to also ask you, was there an example of where you may have had, you know, maybe have given and just got this unexpected return? Because so many of us, and I could give so many examples of unexpected returns.
Oh yes, this, okay. You know, I have a great story of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I use a lot of stories from Rwanda, because it is so clear to me what is possible in that country. So here's my story. In 2006, I was in Rwanda for my second trip, and I was setting up some new programs. We had at the time, we were supporting microfinance in Rwanda, And I'd met some people who were importing that I could import some baskets from. I was excited about that. I was starting a child sponsorship program. That was very exciting. And I was asked to go out and meet some women and children. Now, I knew this organization wanted me to help sponsor children for them, but I had no intention of doing that. And so I went to the village, and there were 100 children there who were singing and dancing, and I was polite, and they were lovely, but I wasn't going to sponsor children because I know the power of no, which we can talk about if we get to it on our discussion tonight. But then there were 9 women sitting waiting to meet with me. And, you know, any of you who think that people are so thrilled to have you come to their country, think again. Any more than in this country, if you see a large group of foreign people walking around, you don't say, oh, boy, I wonder what they're doing. We think, oh, they don't speak English. Maybe they're, you know, they're taking pictures. They're tourists. And it's no different in Africa. So here I am, one white woman in this African village, and there are 9 women who were polite but not thrilled to see me. Because how many white people do you think have come through that village with huge promises and no action? And I knew that, and I'm very aware of who I am in that culture, and yet I want to connect with people. And so we began to talk. And I had nothing to give these women but my advice. I'm a coach, and I coach in Rwanda just like I coach here. So as we sat and talked, the women were asking me things, and we were talking about all kinds of great things, how to raise children. We were talking about men. We were talking about AIDS. We were talking about how they could have some encouragement in their own lives. And then it was time for me to go. And I said, I need to go. But if anyone has one last question. And one woman stood up and she said in Kinyarwanda, I need a goat. Now, I looked at this woman and I thought to myself, we're not doing goats. And then I heard God speak to me in my head. And God sounds to me like a middle-aged white woman. He's just got my voice, and that's the only voice I know of God. But I always know it's God because I have the strangest thoughts. So in my own head, I hear God say to me, give her a goat. And I thought, give her a goat? And I looked at the man that was running the program. I said, how much are goats? And he said, they are 12,000 francs, which was about $25. And then God said to me, give them all goats. And I think the goats were $12.50 at the time. And then God said to me, give them all goats. Wow. And I looked at the women, and all this conversation is going on in my head. And it was just a little over $100, and no problem doing that. And I looked at the women, and I said, I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for giving me your time and honoring me. And I would like you to know I'm going to give you each a goat. And Sharon, I could have shot them and not shocked them more.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, they began to laugh and hug each other and hug me. Now, these women were very reserved, and it was pandemonium. And they were beside themselves. And we laughed, and I said, I only have one request, that you nickname your goats Itafari. Itafari is the name of my foundation. It means brick. So they laughed. They thought it was very funny that their Ihene would be the Kinyarwanda word for brick, which is Itafari. And I said, and I will pray that God will make these the best goats in the village. And, you know, I left, and I asked myself, because I always do, you know, and Itafari is a secular organization, meaning we are not faith-based. It is open to everyone, but I am certainly a faith-based person. I am not a secular person. I'm a very strong faith-based person. So on the way back to Kigali, which is the world or the capital of Rwanda, I was thinking, God, was that you? Is that just me, a crazy white woman giving goats away? And right then there was a woman in the car who was getting a ride with us back to Rwanda who ran the program, and she said to me, Vicky, I need to tell you something. She said, you know that woman that stood up and asked you for a goat? She said, yesterday. She said she is a new believer, meaning she had come to know God just recently. She said, wow. She came to me yesterday, and she said, I need a goat. And I said to her, we don't have any goats. Because sometimes people had come through and given goats. So they would have a supply of goats in hand, give them to the village women so that they could start to breed the goats and make some money. And the woman looked at her and said, what do you want me to do? And this woman in the car said to me, I told her to pray. And then she said to her, she said, do you mean if I pray to my God, he will bring me a goat? And she said, yes. And as I, and they prayed. And as I like to say it, the next day, the old goat showed up. And you know, Sharon, we have bought in Rwanda thousands of goats now. And I think about this woman, what I got from her. She had the courage and faith to ask for what she needed. And I think about what that brought to me. And I got so much more than I will ever give. It confirmed in me that I do know the voice of God in me when I hear it. I do know that it was the right thing to do. And then when we went back in February the following year, I went to the village where the goats were, and one of the women who was part of that group was very excited to see me, gave me a big hug, and she told through the translator that the Itafari Ihene had the best, I kid you not, had the best fertilizer in the village, and her crops were better than they had ever been. So when I ask God to bless those goats, God bless those goats.
So you're also teaching us also the power of giving, but at the same time, Vicki, you're teaching us the power in prayer.
Well, and for anyone who believes in prayer, never stop believing. For anyone who says, I don't believe that at all, I say, you don't have to, but I got news for you. I know that was as real as this conversation. And so I think that when we give, and we give in faith, and whether you have a religious faith or not, we do give in faith. We do hope that it matters. And all I hoped was that I wasn't crazy. And when I heard God's voice, and I heard the story of this woman who had prayed the day before, God, bring me a goat. And if you had told me the day she was praying when I was 150 miles away, tomorrow you will be giving a woman a goat, I would have said, you're crazy. We're not doing goats. So you've got to be, one of the things about giving, you never know where it will come from, but you must be open. Be open to possibilities. And sometimes getting out of your comfort zone, which is what happens when you go to another country, it kind of opens you up. And I think that's where I was. I'm so open when I go to Rwanda because everything is foreign. Now, after 10 visits, I have really dear friends. But it's really an opportunity. When we step out of our comfort zone, it's an opportunity to do more. And you don't do more with more money. You just have opportunities you may never have had before.
Wow. But, you know, Vicki, this is awesome. This is awesome. This Cultivate show, and so many of you have heard this story before, but just to go back a little bit, because you're taking me way back home, Vicki.
I am so glad, Sharon.
You're the same way. Because I tell the story. I came out of poverty, and I'm proud to say that. Because when I look back, you know, there's a saying we say in our church, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah, thank God for saving grace. And I say that because I remember when I was growing up, about 2 years old, my mom left us. She gave us to her grandmother and two of us, and she just didn't want us anymore. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what my mom's look like. I just don't know. I know she's tall, she's dark, and she has long hair. What her face looks like, I don't know. But what I know is that I look just like my dad, and my brother looks just like her. And as we grew up over time, you know, educationally, we didn't have the opportunity to get the education. But I knew that as I was growing up, things started happening to me. My brother is still living the same place where we were separated. But for some reason, my life changed, and my father took me, and I bounced with this girlfriend and that girlfriend and then another grandmother and an aunt and this one and all people. So many people have been in my life. And when I came to this point of realization, Vicki, I told myself that I'm going to be doing something for people, just to know what. And so I went to school, sent myself to school, got a degree in a bachelor's in English because I wanted to be a school teacher. I wanted to give. Then I went into business and got a master's in business. And the word cultivate, where did it come from? One day I'm thinking, I want to get a word that identifies with me because I'm just like this big motivator. I'm always communicating. I'm in leadership. I'm always giving people energy, making people happy. So I got the two words, communication and motivation. And I somehow made the word cultivate from communication, vague from motivation, put it together. Had I known, this at this point was just a word. What is my point in coming to the story? Had I known, the Come to Bake show, one day, speaking with another person, telling them my story, she says to me, and her name is Abiola Saba, what a wonderful woman. She says to me, but Sharon, you should be talking about life. You should be talking to people. You should be motivating people. And that gave birth to the Come to Bake show. And here we are, Vicki, back from September to now, over 15,000 people listening, the ones that I know by statistics, and I have people like you talking. This was something I never dreamt of doing, and here we are, 15,000 people strong, and maybe more, maybe 100,000 by now, having people like you and so many who came before you helping me to give back. How great is that?
Well, and you know, it's amazing. And how, this is the, you know, this is the attitude of giving that you have. You've always wanted to give back. Now, whether you're wealthy or poor, your attitude of giving back comes through in every smile, in every encouraging word. I really want people to get the idea. It's great to give money. And if you have it and you want to give it and you give it with an attitude of giving, that's wonderful. But if you have no money, what do you give to others? And when you describe your life, because when I had you on my show, you talked about this, and it's a great reminder that you don't come from this place of abundance. In fact, when a young girl is abandoned by her mother, by all statistics, it's a great reason and excuse never to do anything else with your life. Instead, you chose to pay forward the best parts of your life, and by doing that, not only was the lesson your mother left with you not wasted, I am certain the kind of mother you are is even better because you know the cost of not having a mother there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We give from our experiences. We give from our wisdom. We give from our emotions, from our lost where we've been lost and our brokenness. And, you know, if you think about this, if you've lost someone you've loved and you never had the chance to tell them because for whatever reason, doesn't even matter, most likely you hurry out and you tell someone you do love that's still here, I love you. And when you do that, then you have given a gift to someone. We just don't know. You could walk into a 7-Eleven and you can smile at a clerk that you have a two-minute transaction with and you don't know if your smile could be the brightest day, the brightest moment of their day. Giving is not about giving from scarcity. It's about giving what we have freely. And whether it's your emotions, your voice, your words, or your money, or anything else, those are what we give.
Wow, and I hope, you know, I'm taking notes. I'm taking a lot of notes, Vicki, because the other question I want to ask you, because you talk so much about Rwanda, just for clarity, I mean, people are giving everywhere. People give, but why Rwanda for you? Why did you choose Rwanda?
Well, it's very simple. In 2004, I was asked to go to Rwanda by an old boss of mine. And we went to lunch, and Jeff was saying, I'd like you to go to Rwanda with me. It's with World Vision. And, you know, I'm listening, but kind of half listening. I love to travel. I said, sure, I'll go to Rwanda. And I remember him saying something about it. Oh, you know, something had happened there, but it was all over. No worries. It wasn't dangerous. I didn't even think about it. And I get home, and I say to my husband, John, I'm going to go to Rwanda. And John looks at me, and he says, why do you want to go to Rwanda? And I said, well, Jeff asked me to go. And he said, do you know what happened in Rwanda? I said, no. He said, do you know how dangerous it is? I said, no. He said, where is it? I said, I don't know. He said, you're not going to Rwanda. And I am an educated woman, Sharon. I care deeply about the world. But in 1994, when a million people died in 100 days, I was very focused on my clients in Portland. I was on call 24 hours a day for 17 years. I missed a genocide. I missed a genocide where 80 countries in the United Nations turned its back and said, this is an African problem. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't hear about it, and I'm not excusing it because many people knew about it, but I didn't. But I told Jeff no, and then he invited me back to another lunch about 4 months later. And Jeff's a wonderful guy and really loves the Lord and a very, very good businessman in Portland. And he invited me to another lunch, and I went to this lunch, and I walked into this private club, and there were about 20 white people there and one African woman. And I walked up to the African woman. I said, "My name is Vicky Trebosh." She said, "My name is Rita Garambi." And I said, "Oh, Rita is my favorite name in the world. That was my mother's name." And she looked at me and she said, "I will be your mother."
Now,
my mother, Rita, was the most incredible person that I will ever know in my life. From the moment I was born until the moment she died in my arms, this woman shaped my life. So whenever I meet a Rita, it's a big deal. And here I am looking at an African Rita. And Rita said to me, she ran microfinance for World Vision in Rwanda. And she was there to speak about microfinance in Portland. And she said, "You know, my people have no hope." And I said, "You know, years ago I wrote an article when I was working with elders in Portland. And I said I would visit my clients in nursing homes and they would be waiting. They would be waiting to eat and they would be waiting to be dressed and they would be waiting to go to the doctor. And they would wait for visitors and then they began to wait to die and then they would wait for God." I said, "I don't think God wants us to wait. I think he wants us to do whatever we can while we are here." And she looked at me and she said, "You must come to Rwanda and speak to my people." And I looked at this woman, this ordinary woman just like me, and I said, "I will come to Rwanda and speak to your people." So I went home and I said to John, "John, I'm going to go to Rwanda." And John said, "Why do you want to go to Rwanda?" And I looked at him and I said, "I met a woman named Rita." And he looked at me, Sharon, he said, "Oh, no." Because he knew how much I loved my mother, Rita. And so I began to read about the genocide. And in June of 2005, I went over to see Rita. And I saw the people of Rwanda, a people who do not want to be defined by a genocide, but by their strength and resilience. And I found a home there. I found a place where I could give from abundance. Abundance of my love, abundance of my passion, abundance of my intellect. And what I tell people all the time is that Rwanda is not for everyone. And if you don't want to give to the Itafari Foundation, no problem. But what are you most passionate about? Because if each of us gives to what we are most passionate about, we will all change the world. So when you ask me, why Rwanda? It is very simple, Sharon. A woman named Rita, my mother, and a woman in Rwanda. And when I really take it down to the simplest place, I am in Rwanda because of my mother. And if you had told me 20 years ago someday I would go to Rwanda, I would have said, what is Rwanda? So I really believe this path that we're on is a little more covered up than we believe it is. But if we just stay present, something beautiful will happen, and then we give.
Oh, yes, I know. You know what? I feel it in my bones. I tell people all the time, forgive me if you think I'm crazy, but I know this Cultivate show and what it's doing for lives and for the many people like you that's coming on and for those who are coming and just giving, giving, giving. And so many lives have been blessed. When I get testimonials of one lady, she wrote to me and she says, as a matter of fact, she contacted me from LinkedIn. And she said, "I don't know who you are, but whatever you're doing, just keep doing it." Because I was listening to one of your shows and I cried. And her name is Sister Joy. And she's been up so many followers. But this particular email, when I looked at it, the tears came up in my eyes. And the only thing that came to mind was, "Thank you, Lord, it's happening." Because that's all I want. I asked for nothing from the show.
I know, and you know, but you listen. You wanted a word. You brought communicate and motivate together, and you came up with Comptivate. I mean, really, you came up with something because you want to give back. And because of that attitude of giving, how do I give back? I come up with my own word. And you have to say, really, your own word, and you go, yes. I have my own word for the way I can give. And all you're trying to teach people is we're all capable of doing anything, whether we're young, old, poor, rich. None of that has to do with the attitude of giving.
No, that's I know. I feel in my bones something great is going to happen, and it is happening right now. But let me ask you this, too, because there's also, you're running the Itafari Foundation. Everything is so going so great for you. And, I mean, what would you do differently if you knew the world was so large? All of these things are happening. People are everywhere. People are talking about it. The people are looking forward to what's going on. And even when we talk about people of influence, we know there are people all the time who are trying to influence people. People are spending a lot of their time just really giving back to society. And I know that, and I know that it is so important. But let me just ask you this question, because it's after 7.5 years of running the Itafari Foundation, what would you do differently if you knew it would grow this large?
Well, that's a great question. I think the thing I would do differently is get more people involved. One of the challenges of people who are visionaries and people who have a big dream is that, and only some of us, I'm only speaking for myself and people like me, is that we hold that dream too close and we don't let enough people help us. I am so determined to make a difference. I have a board. We have some volunteers. We do an amazing job. We've raised over $750,000 with no major donations, just ordinary people who want to accomplish the extraordinary. But, you know, I think that great leaders really need to understand how to build a strong team. I don't want to run this at this level the rest of my life. So I need to make sure that I get people that can come in and run this organization. I want to be the voice forever. I'm happy to talk about it wherever I can in the world. But, you know, people who are visionaries often need to bring in the next level of leadership. And 7.5 years later, I don't think I've done a good job of that as I should have. And I know we shouldn't talk about shoulds, but I'm an executive coach. I work with leaders. And I know what it takes. And while I've done many things right, I really believe that this organization would be stronger if we had a stronger, quote, foundation for the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Well, check me out 7.5 years later from now. Check out the Comtivate Show, because
exactly.
It's going to be all we're going to be all over the place, people. Write this word down, Comtivate. Sometimes when I tell people Comtivate, they say,
it will become a new word in the urban dictionary.
I'm telling you. I get a kick out of it because people say, what's their website? Comtivate. Come, spell it for me. And then that gives me the opportunity to tell people how I came up with Comtivate. It's such an amazing thing. But what's next for you, Vicky? You're doing so well. You're doing such a great job.
Oh,
the world,
thank you.
What's next?
Well, what's next is, you know, I have a book about my mother that's been out since about a year called Dead Rita's Wisdom. That is the lovely Rita of my mother. And it's all a book about wisdom. And it's a book about the wisdom that lies within us, that comes from the people we know in our lives, the lessons we've learned. And as I take that book around the world, and 15% of the proceeds of that book go to the Itafari Foundation. It's the book is only $14.95. It's available on Amazon and my website, Dead Rita's Wisdom. That book is an example of what is possible. So what I love to do is talk to audiences about what is possible. I'm also leading a retreat in September, which you can find on my website, victoriatrabosh.com. It's going to be down in Miraval in Tucson, Arizona, and it's called What Next? So what's next? And this is a retreat for people who find themselves running in the same spot, questioning what comes next. And if the questions that come to them are things like, how did I get here? Does this work fuel my fire? Is my business what it can be? Am I getting the most I can from my team? And how am I inspiring success for myself, my business, and my people? And how can I matter more? This is the retreat for you. And for your listeners, the Comtivate listeners, they go to the website and sign up and make a deposit by April 30th. We are offering a free night at the Miraval Resort, because I really believe not only do we need to work, we need to rest, and it's a $500 offer. And it is the most amazing place. I've been there twice myself. And it's an opportunity to rest, reflect, renew, and then recharge. And that's what I'm doing next.
So, Vicki, you're giving my listeners, and I call them, I mean, selfish, my listeners, $500 a free night. Is that correct?
Yes. And they'll see it on the website. We've put it on the website, so all they have to do is sign up, and they need to sign up sooner than not. And there's a deposit that is fully refundable by April 30th, so that if people change their minds, I'm just not one of those people that is all interested in just taking the money. I want people to really be connected. They can contact me through the website. Just mention Comptivate, and this will be a great benefit. But it's going to be an amazing retreat, and it starts on a Sunday on September 24th, and it ends at the end of the week. Oh, sorry, September 29th to October 4th. So mark your calendars. Join me in Miraval. It's really a retreat for business people, leaders, and people who want to go to the next level and answer the question for themselves, what's next?
Wow. So I'm not even going to ask you, what does the host of the Comptivate show get?
Well, the host of the Comptivate show needs to talk to me off air, because everybody will want their own radio show after we talk.
Wow, so we definitely talk about after here. But I have more questions. There's so many questions in my head, and this is the opportunity, folks. If you have a question that you want to ask myself or Vicki, it's time to press 1, and I'll see the question sign, and I'll know that you have a question. Vicki, but thank you so much for being on the show. I have one more question, because you talked a lot about the philanthropic dream, and if someone wants to open to have their own nonprofit, I want to see if you could just touch on that really quick, if you could wrap it up really quick about the philanthropic dream and then the nonprofit, and what advice can you give people to start that up?
Okay, so really quickly, if people should know this, 100 new profits start every day in the United States. Many, many people have good dreams, and most of them fail. So if you want to start a nonprofit, the first thing you must do is put together an advisory team and see how they can help you. There's lots of technical steps to do, but you really have to own this, because I'm telling you, if you do something like this, you will have a tiger by the tail, and you better be prepared to make this big, and it is a business. So don't start something thinking doing good is enough. You have to do good and understand you are running a business. It is just a not-for-profit business. Form an advisory team. That's the first step.
So I guess sooner or later we're going to have the Comptivate nonprofit team, right?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Everything's Comptivate. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, all across the globe, those of you everywhere, guess what's coming out? The Comptivate e-zine. Want to mention that? That will be launched on March 5th. Get ready. Everyone who's listening, this is going to be your chance to take part and to have a role and to do an article and do whatever you wish. Let me know, the Comptivate magazine. So we have the Comptivate coaching, Comptivate talk show, the Comptivate magazine, and coming soon, the Comptivate nonprofit. It's all about Comptivate. Anyone at this time, this is your time to press 1 to speak to myself or Vicki. If no one has a question, that'd be fine. Vicki, I want to thank you so much for just blessing the show this evening. I'm sure so many people have been blessed. And if you have a testimonial, feel free to send me an email at info@comptivate.com. But certainly, Vicki, I want to just pray that God will continue to bless you and keep you. And for what you're doing for Rwanda, thank you for just going and extending yourself, because you're doing what a lot of people wouldn't do and probably just don't have the chance to do. But I want to thank you for being on the show and just continue blessing others. And just watch, because I'm telling you, all this giving and adding value to others that you're doing, I'm telling you, Vicki, ultimately all of this is going to lead to more unexpected return. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining the show. Do you have any last word of advice to my listeners?
My last word, Sharon, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. And to all the listeners,
welcome.
I say this, wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing, know that this moment is enough. Don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to be someone else. Bring your best every day. Give what you can from a place of abundance. And have faith that it will serve you and others in the most powerful way ever.
Wow. Thank you so much, everyone. Good night. And thank you, everyone. Remember, you are destined with a purpose through faith. Now listen to the end of this as you hear more about myself. Vicki, God bless you and keep you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you for joining us for the Comptivate Show. Dr. Sharon Johnson has written a book, Emotions. Check it out at Comptivate.com. That's Comptivate.com. Until next time, stay fabulous.
Are you a leader? Because this is our time. I'm a leader on the moon.